A spouse dying sometimes happens, sadly. Remarrying is not uncommon. Another spouse dying is unfortunate. To lose four spouses in the space of 5 years only raises a few eyebrows. Losing a child and a brother-in-law in the same period is downright negligent. It takes small-town gossip and a dogged sheriff to put the pieces together. This is the case of Lyda Trueblood Safard, and this is Murder Me on Monday.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Murder Me Monday podcast. I am Cameron, and joined with me is Mother.
Hello. If you'd like to support us via patreon.com, where you get early access and exclusive content and stickers should you want them, please do consider it. The link is in our bio, and thank you to all our current supporters. Leaving a review is great too, and a big thank you to those who have. It really helps the algorithms. And a big thank you to one of our supporters, Lily, for suggesting this week's case. The French folktale of Bluebeard, a wealthy noble who marries and murders six wives, is well known, although its origins are disputed, his motives are unclear. Black widows are the female versions, marrying and murdering spouses, but sometimes other relatives. The motive is usually money. Victims tend to be roughly the same in number, six or more, for both of these types of characters. Most people think the term black widow is derived from the spider that mates with, then kills the male. But it is possible the term actually comes from the Victorian era fashion of wearing heavy black to funerals and for a year afterwards, often known as widow's weeds. Academics no doubt will fight over it for years. I am not sure if you realised when you suggested this case, Lily, the parallels that can be drawn between the current Laurie Vallow trial, which will become blindingly obvious as we progress, but we will talk about at the end. Let me take you to Keytesville, Missouri, where on the 16th of October, 1892, Anna Elizabeth Trueblood was born.
Mother, why do we keep going further and further back? In 6 months, we're going to be discussing Grog and Thog clubbing each other to death over a bear's ass. We keep going further and further back. There's going to be less and less information. I know that's when she's born. This might be when she's born, but it's still 130 years ago.
I know, but in my head, it's not that long ago. Although I'm not as old as that, some days I do feel like it. It's just, it's the parallels. This one was suggested and I looked into it because I thought, well, why not?
I understand how it's topical, but it is starting in the 1800s.
I know.
People
I know.
Nowadays are saying the late 1900s to refer to people that were born in the 1990s. But come on, this is 1892.
And you keep saying 1982. You keep struggling with that bit.
Because I don't expect it to be almost 200 years ago.
I've never heard of an abbreviation of a name to Lyda. And I keep wanting to say Lydia. But she was known as Lyda. I guess it could have been a family pet name for her. She was the third of 11 children, born to a salt-of-the-earth type church-going farming family.
Trueblood is legitimately her name. It's not a moniker. It's not something that she's been given because she's done something like this, like the Gay Slayer.
No, exactly.
So her middle name is genuinely Trueblood.
No, her surname, she was born a Trueblood. Her grandfather was something strange as well, but I didn't want to get into that because it would take the whole case sideways. And I kept expecting to hear, you know, garlic and vampires and steaks and...
That's low hanging fruit though, but...
I know.
Okay, carry on, sorry.
Keytesville is called a city. It has its own wiki page, yet it never had a population bigger than 1,100 people, and now actually has about 440 people live there. The family goes west in 1907 to Twin Falls, Idaho, over 1,300 miles away. Must have seemed enormous to them with a population of over 5,000. Lyda would have been 15. The family buys land and starts farming. A couple of local boys from Keytesville soon followed the family, Robert and Ed Dooley. Robert and Lyda were teenage sweethearts from way back, and so it followed that they married in March of 1912, when Lyda would have been 19. They are not wealthy, so it's not surprising that the two brothers and Lyda all lived together on a ranch or a farm. It's not clear. Ranch is cattle or animals, isn't it? So I suspect it was a farm. It makes more sense. Everything ticks along nicely for a while. And in 1914, Lyda gives birth to her only child, a little girl called Lorraine. 1915, things start to go south. Baby Lorraine would have been around a year or so, probably walking or crawling, and she seemingly developed a habit of drinking out of the well. That baffled me a bit until I wondered if it was one of those stand-up pump-type wells with the handle, you know, the type I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe a bucket, not actually a hole in the ground. But apparently the well was disused, but it hadn't been decommissioned, which makes Lorraine's dying from drinking said water a little bit more understandable. In the August of 1915, Lyda's brother-in-law, who she'd known for many years and lived with for the past 3 years, Ed, died. There are limited medical resources back then. Deaths would have been attributed to what little they did know about whatever illnesses. So typhoid was one reason given. The other, according to Lyda, was ptomaine poisoning, both of which they believed could have come from tainted water. That damn well again, maybe. Typhoid fever, also known as typhoid, is a disease caused by Salmonella typhi bacteria. Symptoms vary from mild to severe and usually begin 6 to 30 days after exposure, according to the medics. I thought it was from water, but maybe not. And it explains all the outbreaks of what is called Salmonella poisoning that we hear about recently, but is probably actually typhoid. Apparently, you can get it a number of different ways. Using a toilet contaminated with bacteria and touching your mouth before you washing your hands. Dirty bastards. Eating seafood from water sources contaminated by infected fecal matter or urine. Eating raw vegetables that have been fertilised with human waste. That is very, very common, I hear. Contaminated milk products. And the last one, please stick your fingers in any children's ears, having oral or anal sex with a person who is a carrier of Salmonella typhi bacteria. Now, ptomaine poisoning is a term I'd heard in many older cases, and I finally looked up what the heck it was. Think food poisoning, food going bad and releasing toxins. It was actually debunked as a genuine scientific term in 1910, but news travelled slowly, obviously. Lucky for Lyda and her husband Robert, Ed had insurance, which miraculously had recently been increased, and they inherited the sum of $2,000 from that policy, give or take roughly $60,000 in today's money.
I'm surprised life insurance was even a thing back then, considering people could have just died from being near a well, diphtheria, typhoid, or eating something they shouldn't have done.
It was incredibly common for life insurance back then.
I know, but it seems so easy to make fraudulent claims. Yeah, I know, and that's probably why loads of people died. I'm surprised.
Children especially. Children were the prime ones to
it's
get
like if you're
off.
In a war-torn place, you think, hang on, we can't really have life insurance here because every motherfucker's getting blown up.
Well, yeah, exactly. October 1915. Well, damn it. Robert comes down with exactly the same stomach problems as his poor, deceased brother. Nausea, cramps.
Is he giving her the old hippo eyes? Like, hang on. Hang on.
Nausea, cramps and diarrhea. He predictably didn't make it, with his death being put down to typhoid fever.
Unless he genuinely didn't expect it, and he was surprised that Ed died.
Yeah, it's fair enough. It's fair enough. At this point, it's fair enough. Now, we have no evidence that Robert had insurance, which is rather odd considering Ed did. We also don't know if there was insurance on little Lorraine, which I said was very, very common in those times. Lyda is 20, a widow who had lost her husband, child and brother-in-law in less than a year.
I know it's, again, so far back, so there's no way to tell, but is there any reports of her actually being happily married? Because if he doesn't have life insurance, then that'd be less likely for her to kill him because she's not going to make any monetary gain.
I know what you're asking, I know exactly why you're asking, but bearing in mind the times...
You picked this one.
Yes. I don't think news reporters would have even considered the state of a marriage because that was irrelevant.
As a motivation to kill someone?
Yeah.
But of course it is.
Right. I know. We know that now.
And so is money. They're like the two biggest reasons why anyone kills anyone ever.
Lyda stays put. She had a house and money.
And that fucking well that she can use to kill people with.
Yeah. A family of farmers. They maybe helped her out. She's doing okay. 2 years pass. She meets a chap called William McHaffle and swiftly married him in June 1917. William is a waiter, no farmer. So no one is surprised when they sell up Lyda's farm and move to Montana. I have it in my head, it's Billings, but I couldn't find the actual reference to that. Because poor Lyda had had such a hard life with people dying, William happily takes out a life insurance policy to protect her should anything happen to him. The story gets even more murky here. Predictably, William dies on the 1st of October 1917, 4 months after the wedding.
And 3 weeks after they installed the well. Yeah.
Some places say the cause of death was, yet again, typhoid. Others put it down to Spanish flu. But that wasn't recognised until 1918. Hello, COVID-19. So it could have been running wild beforehand.
This is a random little thing about Spanish flu. Reason why it killed so many people is because it basically only killed young people. Because if your immune response reacted so heavily, that's what killed you. It was your body reacting so violently to the to the flu.
They were dropping dead in the streets.
Yeah.
Well, the figures vary wildly. They go from 17 to 100 million people died from it.
I think it's something like when Genghis Khan went around killing people. You can actually see that that had a reducing the carbon footprint on the planet for that period of time. There's probably the same thing again for when all the people died from the Spanish flu. Mm.
There's also the small matter of insurance for the grieving widow this time round. Some places quote $500, others say $5,000. Either way, she's making bank, as they say. Well, we know Lyda loves a wedding. So much so, she can't resist marrying Harlan Lewis in March of 1919. He was either a car mechanic or a car salesman. But either way, his time was up after 4 months as well. July 2019, he comes down with severe abdominal pains, weakness and diarrhea. Typhoid, right? Nope. This time his death is put down as gastroenteritis. I'm just very glad for modern medicines. I think we would have all been killed by gastroenteritis many times over. We've all had a bout of it at some point. Oh, and to ease her grief, yet again, collects $5,000 from insurance.
Is this actually $5,000 this time, or is it another speculated number?
No, it's definitely $5,000 from this one.
They've got to be different insurance companies.
Yeah.
If you keep getting in car accidents, it's you, or you're a rally driver. Either you're doing something wrong, driving down the wrong way in the street, you're doing something.
Don't forget, back in the mists of time, there would have been lots of very small insurance
companies.
Yeah,
and her name changes from Lyda to Lydia to Lauren to whatever. Yeah.
So a quick recap. You've got 4 years, lost a child, three husbands and a brother-in-law, collected at least $10,000, if not more, from insurance, and is still not yet 30 years old. Montana is not where Lyda wants to be, so she moves back to Idaho. Also, well, her name's a bit of a jinx, isn't it? Many people are starting to call her Typhoid Mary. I don't know why, but she starts calling herself by her birth name of Anna May and uses the surname from husband number two, McHaffle. So Anna May McHaffle, not Lyda, whatever she'd gotten up to. I'd lost track. She lasts a year being single. In August of 1920, she married Edward F. Meyer, or Mayer. Within a month, he's dead. He had insurance too, but the insurance company would not pay out on the $10,000 policy.
She treats these dudes like a hobby, doesn't she? She gets with them for a little bit and goes, I'm done with this one.
Yeah.
Rather than leave them, just kill them. It's much easier.
It's money, isn't it? Idaho is too painful for Lyda. She needs some sun and sand. She eventually pops back up in Hawaii, but not direct route. Actually, it's not quite true. Idaho had gotten too hot for her. Edward Myers was a farmhand, a supervisor though, and a big, strong, healthy guy. When he got sick and died, the men working under him were rather confused why he would die from typhoid, which was on his death certificate. They got to gossiping and became convinced that somehow Lyda had poisoned him, hence the skipping from town. Small town Twin Falls sheriff soon gets to hear the gossip and is interested enough to do some digging about. He goes to the place in Montana where Lyda and Harlan had lived. That was husband number three. The current resident of that property showed him some things that Lyda had left behind. The legend is it was a large barrel of old flypapers, devoid of flies, but also devoid of the active ingredient in them at the time, arsenic. Oh, remember husband Edward, number four, that died after a month? The insurance company wouldn't pay out. Cause of death was typhoid on the paperwork. An autopsy or exhumation must have been done because arsenic was found in his stomach. Lyda is actually in Honolulu when she's traced. She's having married a chap called Paul Vance Southard. He's a Navy petty officer. Lyda had met him in California and then he was transferred to be stationed in Hawaii. The rumour is she wanted him to get life insurance, but he refused because he was covered under the Navy policy. Not interested. Lyda is extradited back to Idaho and the authorities exhume everyone who had died that had links to Lyda. All the men had lethal doses of arsenic in them, but nothing could be found in little Lorraine's remains. Husband number five, Paul, stood by her during her trial in 1921. She was only tried for Edward Myers' murder. The press predictably named her Flypaper Lyda or Lady Bluebeard.
Why was she only charged with Edward's death and not everyone else?
We've got no idea. We've got no idea.
Is that because he's the most recent? They're the only ones that can actually prove that it happened.
Very probably.
They've got some sort of physical evidence as well as circumstantial, but the other ones, by that point, would you even have much physical evidence that they could actually get back in those days?
Yes, because arsenic is a preservative. It will still show up in the body for... It's got a half-life, like, almost like nuclear waste. It's an incredible amount.
I wonder why they didn't do it. Or is it one of those cases where they can definitely get this? So rather than risk the chance of extending it out massively by having like several different trials, we can definitely get her on this, and it's in the 1900s, so we can give her typhoid if it doesn't work out that way.
You are very, very probably right. It's all down to the good old money again, isn't it? It's cheaper to do one trial and get her on that one, but there's an awful lot of chicanery that goes... No, chicanery is the wrong word.
Shenanigans?
Shenanigans. I like shenanigans.
Fuckery.
Yes. There's an awful lot of that goes on with this case. The trial lasted 6 weeks. Her defence, she was a typhoid carrier, she thought. Think the arsenic may have trumped that defence.
She also hasn't had it for 4 years straight and just been fine.
Yeah, but you can be if you're a carrier. You can be absolutely...
You can have it for 4 years and pass it to everyone that you've kind of looked at.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's where the typhoid Mary saying comes from. That's what she did. She was put in a sanatorium, I believe, for many, many years because she was a carrier and they couldn't... They just tried to stop it. Anywhere she went, because hygiene wasn't a thing, washing of hands, she ended up giving everybody typhoid.
Yeah, the germ theory of disease didn't exist then.
No. Well, this charm that Lyda had that had persuaded five men to marry her helps find her guilty of second-degree murder only and is sentenced to 10 years to life. Husband number five, Paul, eventually gave up on the love of his life and divorced Lyda, and she should have been sat in prison for the remainder of her days. 10 years, she did sit there. She was often the only female prisoner in that prison.
Did they not separate prisons by sex at that point?
Yeah, but they had a separate wing and she was the only person there. She used to do mending for the men and just chill, basically. Until on the 4th of May, 19...
Oh, did she get typhoid?
No,
oh,
no,
shit.
No, no. 4th of May, 1931... Lyda soared through the bars of her cell and climbed over the prison wall, aided with knotted bedsheets. She was also aided by a guard who, like a lot of other men, was smitten by the woman known as Idaho's Lucrezia Borgia. Waiting for her in a getaway car was David Minton, an ex-con who had fallen in love with her when they were both behind bars. Lucky for Dave, he wasn't marriage material. She settled on a chap called Harry Whitlock from Denver, Colorado. She had taken a job as his housekeeper, won him over, married him, and then suggested he takes out life insurance because you never know what may happen, okay? I mean, your child could die just like your mother did. Yes, Harry's mother, who had lived with him and his child, died. Could have been old age, but it said it was a stomach ailment.
Right, I don't want a victim blame, but if you start dating a person called Tommy the Scalper, right, don't be surprised when you've got no scalp left. She's in prison for killing like 8 people, and they're all either her kids or her husbands. And then you're surprised that when she escapes from prison, that either you or people you know around her start dying of typhoid again.
Well, Harry had no idea who she was. Police found.
Did he not ask why she was in prison?
No,
Did it just never come up?
No, didn't come up. He advertised for a housekeeper. She applied, fed him a line, married him. Police found good old Dave, who had helped her escape. Lyda reads about Dave getting picked up in the newspapers and skipped out on Harry. Harry figured out who she was, and he helped authorities to track her down to Topeka in Kansas, where they hauled her back to prison in August 1932. Lyda had been free for 15 months. Harry got an annulment. She manages to wrap the prison governor around her finger and gets special privileges such as unescorted day release, visits to her mother that was being completely unguarded and unwatched, and it caused such a scandal that the governor had to resign. After serving 20 years, in October 1941, she is released on parole for 6 months to live with her sister. Now, the state governor was not happy. He said she would find another victim. She shouldn't be released. But he couldn't stop it. She's then pardoned. Pardoned. And she's not finished. She married again a chap called Hal Shaw. Hal is an enigma. We know nothing. And he vanished. And it's not clear if it was before or after Lyda eventually dies of a heart attack in 1958, aged 65, in Salt Lake City, Utah. One report is said that her autopsy, it was noted that her body was remarkably devoid of hair, and it was speculated that it was due to her exposure to all this arsenic. But I would raise you vascular issues. It's one of the symptoms specialists note with people who have vascular issues that they swiftly lose leg hair, especially. And that could tie in with a heart attack, couldn't it? She is buried in Twin Falls, near to her daughter, husband number 2 and number 5, and the sheriff who finally stopped her. Some places, the story, even with the old news reports, is confusing. Lyda is often referred to by the surname Keller, yet never married a Keller. Some places say that her baby Lorraine dies as a baby. Others said she dies when she's about 4. Either way, Lyda did it. Some of the reports have it that it was a cousin of her first husband, Robert, who was a pharmacist or a scientist, who was the one who started investigating. Either way, it's one heck of a story.
How did she manage to get everyone to fall for her? I know you could easily lie then and say, I'm not this person. I haven't killed 8 husbands, teehee. But I'm looking at pictures of her. She looks like either when a baby sees something they're scared of and their eyes bulge, or like a soldier's come back from war and they've got that 1,000-yard stare. She looks like she's on meth. She's just kind of like bug-eyed and staring. Or she's got glasses and just looks like a nan. I don't know if for the time she kind of banged and everyone liked the way she looked.
Well, if you read the different news reports, some of them describe her as a redhead with striking blue eyes. Others describe her as pudgy and pasty. I guess beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But she must have had the gift of the gab. the way to make men feel good about themselves. Don't forget the times.
It was probably very easy.
Yeah.
Men back then were like, her door woman, probably.
Yeah.
What was her family life like prior to all this, when she was born in the 1800s?
It seems to have been a perfectly ordinary, very large family. Again, it was very normal
12,
for the time.
I think you said.
11. Yeah. But very ordinary farming family, did okay. There was nothing special. Why she ended up
There's nothing of her siblings randomly dying of some stomach-related issue.
No. I don't think anybody's gone that far back. And, of course, records...
You can't now.
Yeah. Yeah. You've only gone from the news reports if there was one. If you listen to us, you will probably have a lot of other true crime podcasts on your app. There are probably 20-plus podcasts and YouTube channels dedicated to covering the Laurie Vallow trial. But Cameron knows about this case too. Only because I kept him up until midnight recently discussing one of the points that came out about survivor benefits, which I, as a Brit, found strange. You didn't, did you?
I also think I was awake because I still hadn't hit my step goal. So I was out walking at close to midnight. I think I came back and we started talking about it. Yeah.
I was absolutely baffled because to me, the survivor benefits would be a prime reason for bumping someone off. But apparently you do have to jump through some major hoops. People were telling me on social media because I was asking questions.
Yeah, you kind of asked me and I was searching about it. It's like a social security benefit thing. If you're a dependent and your parent dies, then you get the money. If you died before a certain age and they died before they collected it, if you're under the age of 21, then you can collect it. But like you said, it's open to abuse. People can kind of take the money. Much like actors, there's a sort of like a clause where 14% or something of a child actor, that gets put away so that the child gets it when they hit 18. But that's open to abuse as well, because I think you can probably opt out of it or some shit.
Well, this trial isn't televised, so my evenings currently are spent reading the Twitter feeds of the reporters who are in the court to try and get a fuller picture of what is actually happening. The court does release a full audio tape of the proceedings at the end of the day if anyone did actually want to follow along. But there are an extraordinary amount of sidebars and judges' chambers discussions, so it's rather hard case to actually follow. But it's the parallels, though. You asked me why we were doing this case. Idaho, both in Idaho. Both bumping off husbands. Very probably, well, I'm darn sure that Laurie bumped off her kids or was at least complicit. I'm pretty sure that Lida bumped off little Lorraine. If you want to look Lida up, she is listed under True Blood or Southard. Southard, if you're ignoring the killings of all the other husbands. And whatever happened to Hal? Why is his name of Shaw not her last given name? Questions. There's still lots of questions and we'll never get the answers. Finally, the victims who should not be forgotten. Lorraine Dooley, Robert Dooley, Edward Dooley, William McHaffel, Harlan Lewis, Edward Myers.
So that is it. Thank you very much for listening. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Murder Me and Monday Podcast. Email us at murdermeandmondaypodcast@gmail.com. If you liked it, like it, favorite and subscribe, all that good stuff. If you really liked it, you can find our Patreon in the description below, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Bye. Lydia. No, it's Lida. Fuck it.